Let's take a look at what's been making news headlines this week with Tony Allen. A very good morning to you, Tony.
Yes, let's talk rain, Libby, before we talk drought, just to brighten things up a bit. As we know, rain has moved over the last week or so right through South Australia, across northern Victoria, into New South Wales, and now up into Queensland. It hasn't broken the drought, but, say, in New South Wales, farmers are very, very much welcoming the various bands of rain that have come across. Last weekend, central, west and northwest New South Wales had an average of 30 millimetres, but some areas got 100 millimetres. And then later in the week, another band came across. Many regions got similar decent falls to fill in the gaps in some cases, including Moree, the Hunter, the mid-north coast and the central tablelands. And it's great news for livestock because it's got the pasture growing again. Maitland sale yard operator Tony Bowes says livestock yardings are now well down, the pasture's starting to grow, and the cattle prices are set to rise.
It's really going to kick the season along, and it's also going to give graziers a few options for the marketing of their cattle, in that this time last week they only had one option, that was to sell. Now they've got a couple of options. One is they can leave them in the paddock, or they can, you know, go ahead and keep selling their cattle.
Well, let's hope that happens, because with that destocking of a lot of properties further north, that's affected cattle prices right across the country.
Yes, and while this is good for livestock farmers, those who grow crops still need a lot more rain, because the water is only just starting to get deep into the subsoil, and for the crops that are going to be grown later. And the crops that were grown, what we call summer crops, that is planted in spring and summer, harvested in winter, the growers are tipping the harvest of those summer crops will be worse than forecast. The extreme dry conditions in cropping areas like Queensland and northern New South Wales meant they had to delay planting of crops like sorghum, and other things used for cattle feed and sheep feed. Temperatures in the 40s have since cooked some of the crops. The overall summer crop production was forecast by the commodity forecaster ABARES to be down about 25%, which is bad enough, and sorghum down 36%. But Grain's president of AgForce in Queensland, Wayne Newton, says that forecast is too optimistic.
And that's probably based on the fact that that forecast was made a number of weeks ago. And really, since that time, the situation has continued to deteriorate with no good general rain in any parts of Queensland cropping belt anyway.
And the drought certainly affecting things further south.
Well, without going into too much detail about water allocation politics, which is not that exciting, but the Menindee Lakes in southwest New South Wales is not going to release any more water for irrigators to South Australia for quite some time, because water levels at Menindee have dropped due to the drought. Now, usually the Murray-Darling Basin Authority manages the water flows out of Menindee unless, under an agreement between the states, the volumes become what's called critically low, and that triggers moving the water under New South Wales government control. And New South Wales then says, we're not going to give any other states waters because we haven't got enough for ourselves. So the New South Wales Water Commissioner, David Harris, says that trigger point has now been reached and the water will no longer be going into South Australia downstream.
Under the Murray-Darling Basin Agreement, rules were put in place that when the levels in the Menindee Lakes drop to a trigger point, which is 480,000 megalitres, New South Wales will have complete control of the remaining water to maintain a drought reserve for the towns and stock and domestic and irrigation purposes in the far west of the state for a two-year period.
And this drought's even losing to job cuts in mining.
Well, you wouldn't think mines would be very affected by a drought, but a copper and gold mine in northwest Queensland hasn't got enough water to keep all its operations going. Copper Chem runs three open pit mines near Cloncurry. These operations are currently under review, and the chief executive officer, Brandon James, says the company might have to cut local jobs if it doesn't rain soon.
We would look to try and redistribute as many people as we can through our other mines. Obviously, we're bringing on additional mines over the next 6 months as well. So we'd look to try and get placements for as many people as we can. But it could mean, particularly in the shorter term, not having positions for up to 25 to 30 people, unfortunately.
Now, this is the never-ending story for rural news, the uncomfortable relationship between supermarkets and dairy farmers with price discounting, but this is a very different angle.
Yes, yeah, seven dairy farmers in northern New South Wales are quite comfortable with their relationship with Woolworths. In fact, they say a deal to supply milk direct to Woolies has saved them. From this week, Woolworths is selling its farmers' own premium milk brand in more than 100 supermarkets across New South Wales. Now, that milk comes from the northern New South Wales Manning Valley. They had a trial in some supermarkets and they found Farmers' Own Premium Milk was the second highest selling milk behind the Woolworths home brand. So the farmers were happy, Woolworths is happy, and Kupanook farmer Julian Biega says, won't say what the farmers are getting paid by Woolworths for their milk, but he says it is a fair price.
Without this Woolworths deal, we probably would have given up. We would have sold the farm up and subdivided it, which would have mean more agricultural land going out of the industry and also out of agriculture altogether. Of course, we're near Harrington, holidaymakers, be easier to carve it up.
It would also appear that SPCR Mona wasn't fibbing when it went to the federal government cap in hand asking for money. They just put out their latest results.
Well, it's Coca-Cola, the Amatil, the parent company of SPC, less than a week after it did secure the deal from the Victorian government to save the fruit processor. It booked massive write-downs on the business, on the SPC business, wrote down SPC Ardmona by $404 million, including all the goodwill was written off. That was $277 million. They also chopped value off the brands as well. So clearly SPC was not a winner for Coca-Cola, and it does explain why they were asking the federal government for money, which they didn't get. Coca-Cola Amatil Group Managing Director Terry Davis held a news conference when they announced their results, and he said cheap imports were still hurting SPC, but the tide was turning as regards consumer attitudes.
Our SPC team has also been successful in getting its major customers to recognise that they also have an important role to play in supporting regional communities and businesses in those food growing and processing areas. I also hope that the federal government recognises that they also have a role to play. On this point, I may be an optimist.
Now, in a moment, we're going to hear about how the wine industry is in a mess. And that's not me making that judgment. That is quoting the Wine Industry Association. But the large wine company, Treasury Estates, has got a new chief executive.
Yes, this is quite significant. Treasury Wine Estates is Australia's largest wine company. It has brands like Lindeman's, Penfolds and Rosemount Estate, and it has other brands that it sells all over the world, everywhere from the United States to Europe to Britain to South Africa and to Asia. So very important business, has been struggling in a big way, recently had to downgrade profits by 20%. And the previous chief executive, David Deary, was sacked last year after a huge write-down of Treasury's US business. So the company has been in big trouble. The new leader, good name for leadership, Michael Clark, his name is, but he's not the cricketer. He's had leadership roles in large food companies, including Kraft and Coca-Cola. And like Michael Clark, the cricketer, he has to try and turn things around.
Yes, best of luck to him. Because the Murray Valley wine growers are saying that they largely do a lot of the bulk wines. They're saying there needs to be a productivity commission inquiry into their industry.
Yes, the Murray Valley wine growers representatives met Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce in Mildura this week. They said they'd had a season of disastrously low prices and they wanted the Productivity Commission to look into their industry. Now, you don't ask for a Productivity Commission inquiry lightly, because sometimes it finds that your industry is inefficient, it should be wound up and all the government subsidies taken away. So that's the situation they're in. And Winegrow's Chief Executive Mark McKenzie says there is a disconnect between the growers and the companies that buy their wine.
The market in the Murray Valley this year for wine grapes has failed. We're in market failure. And that's where governments traditionally have said, well, we're going to have to step in. If the industry can't sort that out amongst itself, we have to step in. We think we're in a mess, frankly, and we need some government intervention to try to get some rebalance back into the wine grape sector here and elsewhere in inland producing regions.
Yeah, certainly it seems just about every year there are protracted contract negotiations between the grape growers and the wine companies.
But I've got good beer news for you.
Oh, good, good, good.
The increasing beer consumption in Asia is driving demand for Australian malting barley. Australia's biggest malthouse, Joe White Maltings, produces about 500,000 tonnes of malt each year. And the Asians want our malt because they're getting right into beer in a big way. Beer has been long one of the most popular drinks in Asia, but people moving into the middle class want to drink more, and particularly in Vietnam. Managing Director of Joe White Maltings, Rob Dickey, says there is certainly a big brewing expansion in Asia.
There's 90-plus million people in Vietnam. Last year, the beer growth consumption was up 12%. It's a massive population, a young demographic. The beer consumption is growing. You compare that to Australia, 22 million people, quite a small market, and beer growth is actually declining in this domestic market here.
Now, coming up on A Country Breakfast, we're going to be talking about depression and drought, but it's not just farmers who are depressed, it's fishermen as well.
You know, I've heard a lot of stories about how the omega-3 in fish gets rid of depression, and if you eat lots of fish, you won't be depressed. Well, the New South Wales commercial fishermen are suffering a great deal of mental anguish right at the moment because of a state government review of their licences. This is a rather complicated business that's been going on a long time, but they're trying to rationalise the licences for fishing in New South Wales to prevent overfishing and keep the industry profitable. And active, what's called active fishermen, those who are still going out in the boats, have to buy licences from those who are inactive, who've basically given up but still hold licences. Now, the active fishermen say it could cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy these licences, and many might be put out of business in doing so. Sydney fisherman Paul Sullivan is one of those who says he's pretty depressed about the whole thing. He says the reform process has been going on for 3 years with no deadline in sight.
Must admit, I went through a pretty dark period there in the beginning, not knowing, and I actually rung up one of those helplines. To stay at my current level and viable, I would have to buy up 280 shares. The cost of those shares would be roughly around $200,000. Looks like I'll lose the house, I'll lose the boat, and the stress it would put on the family unit would be, I'd hate to think what else would happen.
Can we talk about something a bit more positive now, Tony?
Oh, yes. I'll talk about fly-in, fly-out workers. Now, they've had a bit of bad press over the years and talk about how it affects their families and how it affects regional communities. But the Institute of Family Studies has done a study on the effects of fly-in, fly-out or FIFO work on families. And overall, it's pretty positive. They've found that FIFO families are likely to be healthy and functioning well, have high levels of communication and cohesion. There is, of course, a bit of a downside. They've found that children at school might suffer some increased behaviour problems and academic pressure and bullying at school. But overall, if families keep in regular communication between the home and the FIFO worker out on the oil rig or the Pilbara or wherever, everything's going to be pretty good. And some rosters, she says, are more disruptive than others on family life.
What they call the highly compressed roster arrangement. So where the work part of the cycle takes longer than the at-home part are the ones that seem to impact on families the most.
Pretty natural conclusion, I would think.
Yes, and we're going to finish on a story right up my alley. A VBS, a very big sapphire, has been found.
Larger than a golf ball, Libby. You know how they say hailstones larger than a golf ball have poured down in Queensland.
I've got big enough hands to cope with that bigger ring.
Well, in Queensland Central Highlands, they found a sapphire larger than a golf ball, and it was just sitting around on the side of the road. Pat Vine from Pat's Gems in the town of Sapphire, appropriately named, says the 753-carat stone has been named the Sapphire Princess, and it wasn't found by the usual method of actively fossicking.
No, it was just walking along, just specking, which means looking on the ground. After rain, the locals go out and just look, you know, down where the water runs and on the mounds and the hills and just walk along and you just sort of casually walk along just trying to, you know, get something to catch your eye. The second lot of rain we had, it was really big, heavy showers, and that's what you need for the runoff of the, you know, to wash the actual dirt off.
Another benefit of rain.
As it actually moved a sapphire. Thank you, Tony. Tony Allen with this week's Rural News. Rural Reporter is next.